message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
But that's what we believe. But hey, hallelujah. I feel like rapping, but I don't want to rap. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Colossians 4. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for a gathering like this. Thank you because your word is true. Thank you because now again we gather around the world. We're going to learn of your word. And we pray that even as we listen to the word will go in there. We're going to hold on to it. We ain't going to act beside ourselves. No, we're going to listen to this word and going to start acting it out by the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And then we're going to bear fruit of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, turn your Bibles to Colossians 4, everybody. Colossians 4. Colossians 4 is our anchor scripture for the teaching series we began 2 Sundays ago. We tagged it Ecclesia. Colossians 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So we see here that Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Laodicea. He tells them that they should exchange the same letter with the church, of course, in Colossae. So, and then you see the word church here is from the Greek word ekklesia. We said the word ekklesia is a compound word for two words joined together, ek and lesia. Ek means the called out ones, and lesia means a gathering. So we have emphasized in this teaching series that church is the gathering of the called out ones. And then we have emphasized in last week, for example, we said we've been called out for a joy life. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat, drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we've been called out for a joy life. We've not been called to a gloomy life. We've not been called to a, now so the Pushan kind of life. Mm-mm. We've been called to a life of perpetual joy. And I showed you pragmatically that one of the brilliant ways for you to stay joyous all your life is to hijack the source of your joy from natural things. Jeremiah 2:13-14 says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have gone to hewn for themselves cisterns that cannot hold waters. In other words, the moment you refocus your source of joy from God, you are bound to be disappointed. So you have to let your satisfaction be on God and let Christ be your permanent source of joy, because Christ never changes. If you place your source of joy on ephemeral things like money, they are going to have, you're just going to have the undulating graph of your joy life. Your joy life graph will just be undulating, up and down, up and down. You got money today, then your joy life skyrocketed. You ain't no money tomorrow, you ain't having all you want to have, then your joy life goes down. But the moment you say, hey, you know what, I don't care what I have, what I don't have, I'm going to place my source of joy on Christ. Christ is permanent, so my joy is going to be permanent. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew 13:44, Jesus says the kingdom of God is like unto a merchant man, who saw a pearl of great price and for joy. Somebody say for joy. For joy. Say it louder. For joy. He goes to sell all that he has to purchase it. So Jesus was talking in parable there to show you that your salvation, all right, is worth selling the whole world for. In fact, Jesus at one time said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That means Jesus is saying, listen, if you gain the whole world, which, by the way, is not possible. And let's even say if you did. That means, and I gave you a very practical example. Imagine if they liquidate all the assets that is in Asia, all the financial assets in Germany, all the financial assets in all the world, if they transfer it to your accounts, Jesus is saying it is still not enough to purchase your saved soul. You are that what's important before God. So that should, dictate your joy life. And then in second service, we spoke about how that we've been called out to serve one another for God's purpose. That means we are not just a family. We are a family with a purpose. Because the moment there is no purpose in the definition of family, it becomes emotional. Jesus did not die to create an emotional bond. And people are just emotionally bonded in the concept of family. Is the reason why somebody will say, well, why didn't you come to church? Well, I didn't see my friend, nobody to talk to, so that's why I didn't come. Well, what you don't really understand is the person you're going to be sitting next to you in church, you have a supernatural relationship that transcends bloodly relationship. And we saw that in scripture. We saw Jesus demonstrated that in several times. He was preaching, then one woman stood up from among the congregation and says, blessed is the breast that you suck. Blessed is the woman that bore you. Jesus says, yeah. Blessed is the woman that bore me. But listen, more blessed are these ones who hear my words. In other words, Jesus emphasizes the superlative superiority of spiritual relationship above natural relationship. That means what bound us together is thicker than blood. Ever heard the saying, blood is thicker than water? Well, we are bound together by spirit. And guess what? Spirit is stronger than blood. Hallelujah forevermore. So we are brethren. Brethren means from the same womb. We came from the same womb. Glory to God forevermore. So today I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God that we have come into. And I want to use a metaphor that Jesus used, all right, about the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus taught a lot in parable. You know, that means he uses what people understand in their time to explain a deeper spiritual reality. So now, in an agrarian way, to an agrarian dominated economy, he used an agrarian, you know, analogy to explain about the kingdom of God. And then we saw that in the book of Matthew, he uses an agrarian concept in Mark chapter number 4. And you see, somebody is wondering, we've been talking about ecclesia. How then do I make the best of ecclesia? That means church. How do I make sure that I partake of everything that is already for me in Christ Jesus? Every goodness, all the blessings of ecclesia. You know the Bible says in the book of Psalms 133 from verse 1 to 3, it says, how beautiful it is when brethren get together in unity. It says, it's like the oil that flows from the head of Aaron down to his beard, even to his skirt. It says, for dear God commands the blessing. So there's a blessing when we gather. There's a blessing when we gather. That's why Hebrews 10:25, he says, forsake not the gathering of the saints together as the manner of some people is. So he calls it bad mannerisms to be playing church. He calls church truancy. He calls it bad mannerisms. He says, don't be like that. So if there's so much blessing in our gathering, so question is, how do I maximize the blessing in the church? How do I maximize all that God is, you know, apportioned for our gathering? And that's what I want to share with you today. I'll continue in the second service. I want to use the simple parable Jesus used. Now, if you find yourself in a place and you want to maximize all that is available for you by the reason of your association in that place, the next brilliant thing to do is you want to know, who are the key players? What are the key players in this environment? So in the kingdom of God, there are key players. Somebody say key players. Say it again. Say it again. So I want to use, like I said, the example Jesus used in an agrarian, you know, economy. In the book of Mark 4, in verse 3, he says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." Somebody say sower to sow. Mark 4 verse 3. And it came to pass, verse 4, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did eat fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Verse 9. And he said unto them, He that has ear to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. Then go to verse 14 quickly. You're going to see, you can readily see the players already here. Somebody said the sower. Say the seed and the soil. So you can title it the sower, the seed, and the soil. The sower, the seed, and the soil. These are the key players in the kingdom of God. And as a brilliant child of God that you are, your understanding of how these key players interplay will give you a better understanding and the wisdom on how to make sure that you partake of all the blessings of ecclesia. These key players. Look at verse 14. Jesus replied, he says, the sower soweth the word. So he calls the seed what? The word. Now he says, and these are by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. And these are that likewise which is sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word immediately received it with gladness. Verse 17, and now have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when the affliction and persecution arrive for the word's sake, immediately they were offended. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Verse 19, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. So you can see readily here that the key players in the kingdom of God in Ecclesia is the sower. Someone said the sower. Say it louder. Say it again. Say the sower, the seed, and the soil. You see, first thing you need to get right is the sower. Let me use a simple illustration in agriculture. You see, when you want to embark on agriculture, maybe you want to sow seeds, you want to plant corn. All right, the same thing applies, because this is the example Jesus was using. You see, you have to get a good sower, an accredited sower. See, Nigeria has what they call a National Agricultural Seeds Council. Now, pay attention. This National Agricultural Seeds Council, what they do is they let you know the accredited seed companies that you can get quality seeds from. Let me tell you something. I'm a co-founder of an agri-tech company, so you have to listen to me. All right? And this is one of the reasons why we lost our bidding. All right? Because the visionaire went to Harvard, went to present what we had to do. But I don't want to talk about the politics in Nigeria and why we had issues. But here's the point I want you to know. I want you to know I'm talking from experience. Are you listening to me? Now, Nigeria, look up everybody, look up. Listen attentively, because I want to use something that you can relate with. The same way Jesus taught. Now, the reason why a lot of people assume that Nigeria, we have good arable soil, good arable ground, we plant a lot, we have a lot of bountiful harvest. But do you know that it's not much about the harvest, it's about the quality of the harvest. Let me tell you, look up. Ever wondered why milk production, despite how many cattle we have in Nigeria, why don't we get quality milk? Why does Campris Land, the one that makes picnic, why do they get their milk from Europe, especially Argentina? Why? Of course, I know there's politics because it's a family business. But listen, I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to mention name. Their general manager, of course, in Lagos, is a friend. Listen, the reason is this. There's something we call quality assurance. The same thing applies to maize. Why is it that the cornflakes that you eat, many of you don't like eating NASCO. I, for example, I love to eat Good Morning cornflakes, and that's not Nigerian. You know there's a difference. Am I correct? Why? I'll tell you why. For example, now, if they are asking for maize to make it into cornflakes, the processors, that means the company that will process it, what they do is there is a quality level they require from a particular seed that you are giving before they can process it. There's something to call, I don't want to bamboozle you with a lot of Agrarian English, but this is very simple. Let me use a layman language. There's a level of moisture that they require. Are you listening to me? There's a level of tensility. There's a level of, there are certain things, features they need from that seed. And that can only be so from the scratch, from the planting process. So what happened is this. Companies who need certain raw materials, what they do is this. They will get the farmer themselves, provide the seed for them, give them the conditions the soil must be, monitor the growth process. Are you listening to me? So that they can produce an outcome that is fit for the required features for processing. Are you listening to me? So the same thing applies with the word of God. So, for example, now if you go to the website www.whatever on Google and you search National Agricultural Seed Council, they will tell you, you see the list of companies that are certified for you to get certified seed. Why? I'll tell you why. Because, you see, in the kingdom of God, just like in farming, because Jesus used this as an example, because in the kingdom of God, these are the key players. The farmer, that's the sower, the seed, and the soil. These are the variables, these are the parameters you require to bring out quality yield. So if you want to take about all the blessings in the ecclesia, you have to get this right as well. So in first service now, time is fast spent already. I'm going to talk about the sower. A lot of Christians don't know that you don't just go anywhere to worship. And I say this with all decency. You see, you have to identify the sower. First of all, you have to know the seed here is the word of God. Someone say the seed is the word of God. Say it again. Luke 8:11 says the seed is the word of God. And you see, the seed is sown. That means the word is preached. The word is preached. The way the seed is sown, the word which is the seed, is preached. So as I'm preaching like this, I'm sowing seeds. Can you see that? In Matthew 10:7, the Bible says, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You remember in the book of Romans 10:13, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, how shall they call upon whom they do not believe? How shall they believe except they hear? Can you see? Somebody say, hear. How shall they hear except there be a preacher? Verse 14 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So there are sent preachers, not the ones who sent themselves. Are you listening to me? There are accredited dispensers of the seed. There are accredited company. Are you listening to me? That gives quality seed. I'm talking this way because I believe you are going to relate with this as an example to understand what we are talking about. Amen forevermore. Amen. I said amen forevermore. Amen. Now let me say this to you. The sower is the preacher. Listen, if you get the wrong preacher for a pastor, your destiny is crashed already. Because the seed of God's word that you require to build your destiny, the seed of destiny, the word of God, must come from an accredited preacher. And what do I mean by this? What do I mean is this. Listen. You must get your sower right. That's why the Bible says in the book of Psalm 68:6, it says, God sets solid trees in families, and the rebellious he lives in the wilderness. So the moment God has set you in a local assembly, stop dwindling, stop having one leg in, one leg out. Be focused. The moment you identify the sower that God has sent to you, and when God sent a sower to you, he put the word, the seed of your life in his mouth. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3:6, the Bible says, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos have watered, but God gave the increase. In other words, listen, the one who sows the seed is a preacher, is a human being. He's not Holy Spirit. I know you must have heard people say things like, don't go to church, Joe, just read your Bible. All these pastors are lying. It's not true. It is called fallacy. You can't say all preachers are liars. That's a fallacious statement. See, don't let anybody talk you out of having a pastor in your life. You require it. You remember how Jesus wept? Jesus only wept twice. One of the times he wept was that when he saw the sheep gathered, they were scattered. He says, ha, they have no shepherd. He had compassion on them. So you have to identify a pastor, a preacher, that you call your own man of God. Listen, somebody said, but there are so many fake. Listen to me. The fact that there are fakes is a proof that there is original. Because fake is simply a product of, you know, an admiration of the original. How many of you have seen fake money before? Have you stopped spending money ever since then? How many of you have bought shirts and you noticed that it was bleaching? Have you stopped buying clothes ever since then? Did you conclude that all the clothes in the world is, they are all bleaching? You see, 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. believe his prophets, so shall he prosper. So question is, how do I recognize the sower? How do I recognize my pastor? Open to John 3 quickly, let me show you that. John 3. We're looking at Ecclesia. And I'm teaching you today how to maximize the blessings of Ecclesia. How do I maximize the blessings that is accrued or apportioned to the church? John 3, are you there? Oh, thank you. I can see. Let's clap for media. They are doing fine. Those guys are oing. They are doing fine. They are doing well. All right, John 3 and verse 34. Are you there? Look at it. It says, for he whom God hath sent. Oh, glory to God. What does he do? Speaketh the words of God. Someone say the words of God. Say it again. So the way you recognize the sower, the preacher whom God has sent, is that he speaks the seed of God's word. Listen, it doesn't matter how he looks. It doesn't matter what he has or doesn't have. Whether or not he has a car or not. Whether or not he is, that's not your problem. Does he have the seed of God's word for my life? See, don't attend church. One of the lazy reasons why people attend church, number one, proximity. You don't attend church because of, you don't go to church that is near you. You go to church that is near the Bible. You don't attend church because of proximity. Say, that church is near, that's why let me just go. Listen, what many people preach as love, unity of faith, is actually unity in spite of faith. I wish I had time to explain this to you. You know, the Bible says he gives some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, till we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith does not mean that all the church all over the world are going to come under one umbrella. No. Unity of the faith. He's talking about unity of the faith of the Son of God, who is the perfect man. In other words, what he's saying is that God wants us to unite in knowledge. That is the program God is doing. And knowledge is spoken words, right? So again, it boils down to the seed. To the seed. You know, and don't attend church because of personal preference. Hallelujah. You know, a lady was telling... A friend of mine was telling him that a lady invited him to a church. And he said, why do you want me to go to this church? He says, my God. If you see the toilet, eh? I'm serious. A church in Abuja. The excellence. He says, I went there. Immediately, I just sat on the latrine. And I just poo. When I got up, I can't find my poo again. It was a miracle. Like, he felt the technology is amazing. Now, of course, listen, I'm not against poshness. If there's any English like that. As a matter of fact, we are getting there. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you see, it is not primary. It is secondary. If the word of God is preached under a mango tree, I'd rather you be there than be in a well, you know, kitted, posh place where you hear nonsense. And then, you see, you don't have to be emotional. It's my family church. That's where I was born. It doesn't have to be. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. So, number one is you have to recognize the sower. And the sower comes with God's word. The seed of God's word for your life. The seed of destiny for your life. This is very important. And this sower is not on TV. I've spoken about that last week, right? You don't say, well, I'm born again. I'll just see Kitmore. I'll see Kenneth Copeland. I'll see T.D. Jakes. I'll see Joyce Meyer, Cindy Trim, and then I'll just worship and dance. Hallelujah, I had a church today. You didn't have no church, bro. You were just having a nice time. You didn't have no church. Because church is the ecclesia, the gathering of the called out ones. If there's no gathering, there's no church. So, you see, 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, and God hath set some where? Look at it. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's check it. Where did God set the sower to be? Look at it. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12
and verse 28.
1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. Look at it. Are you there? Can we hold it together? 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28. 3, 2, go. And God has set some. Where did he set them? Where did he set them? Where is apostle? Where is prophet? Where is your pastor? Come on, talk to me now. Is he on TV? And I'm not speaking low of TV ministry. As a matter of fact, our TV ministry is kicking off soon. Amen. But I'm trying to let you know the importance of having a pastor. See, don't buy the idea of people who say, me, I don't follow. Chebi, didn't you read the news of that man of God? That scandal. I don't follow any man of God again. Me, I just follow God. You are a liar. You can't follow God if you don't follow a man. Pastor is the God on heart for you. Is God's representative to you? Look at it. In 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. You follow Christ by following men, accredited men, accredited sowers. Are you listening to me? And how do you follow? Because somebody is wondering. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul says, be ye followers of me. Now, this is a pastor, a preacher. He told the church in Corinth, says, follow me. And I wish I had enough time to talk to you about the church in Corinth. Corinth is a perfect example of what we are seeing today in our world. In Corinth, you know, historians told us that Corinth was a place of commercial center. They have all sorts of apostles, both fake and wrong ones, coming to Corinth because it's a center of trade. So they had a lot of people coming. So Paul had to tell them, listen, he says, follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. At one time, they gave it to several doctrines that Paul had to write to them that, who again is telling you that there is no resurrection? In 1 Corinthians 15, he was saying, if there is no resurrection, that means Christ is not raised from the dead. Then our faith is vain, our preaching is vain. Why? Because they have listened to some who came to tell them that the resurrection is over. So it was a place like that, like we have in our world today. People have access to internet to feed on different junks. So you see, you have to be smart about this. So somebody says, so how, look at it. Can we hold 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, everybody? 1 Corinthians 11 1. Let's check it out together. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Are you there? Can you all read verse 1 together, everybody? 3, 2, go. Be ye followers of me, even as I am. So the way you follow Christ is by following a man that follows Christ. So somebody is wondering, so how do I follow? I'll tell you. Open to 1 Thessalonians, everybody. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1. Hallelujah forevermore. 1 Thessalonians 1. Are you there? Now go to verse 6. Please go to verse 6. Look at what he says. He says, oh, I like this. He's talking to the church in Thessalonica. Are you there? Can we all read verse 6 together? 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. 3, 2, go. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Hold on. I talked to you last week that the word and, most times, there's a principle in hermeneutics called TSK, right? That and does not always serve the function of a conjunct. That usually and is like a semicolon, that is, which means that is. For instance, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean blessed be God, comma. Blessed be God of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't mean that they are two different people. It's still the same person. So, blessed be God, that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you there? Do you understand now? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. By the way, there's something we call the law of only mention. So, it doesn't hold water. It only mentioned once in Scripture. It doesn't mean God the Father is different, God the Son is different. No, it simply means in the name of the Father, that is the Son, that is the Holy Spirit. Amen forevermore. I know that's somehow hard for some to chew, but I'll talk about that some other day. But I've talked about that. You can get our tape on Telegram, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. So now let's read 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6 again. He says, and ye became followers of us, that is, of the Lord. So how do you follow the Lord? By following Paul. The church in Thessalonica were following Christ. They were following the Lord. Do you understand? Now, let's go on. Let's read again. Come on. And ye became followers of us, that is, of the Lord. How? Having received the word in much affliction, with what? With joy of the Holy Ghost. So they received the word, despite the things they're going through, they received the word with joy of the Holy Ghost. This is how you follow. Somebody said the word. Say it again. So you need the pastor. I told you there are three key players. I'll talk about the rest in second service. There are three key players. The sower, the seed, and the soil. And the sower is the preacher. And the sower sows the seed of the word. And we saw that the way it does so is through preaching. Through preaching. This is how you can make the best. You have to understand the key players in the kingdom. In Ecclesia, these are the key players. So that you can position yourself properly. So number one, you must get the sower right. I mean, you see, you must have a man of God. In Hebrews 13:17, the Bible says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Somebody says submission. Go to chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. Let's see it again. Let's see what Paul said again to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Are you there? You have to know, Paul understands this thing so much that he was literally begging the church in Corinth. Sometimes when I see what some people say, I'm like, sometimes I want to ask, who is this guy's pastor? What has he been learning? The seven mystery of night prayer. And then number one, seven keys to open the portals of favor. See, let me tell you, look. If you are not careful, look up, look up. And I'm not talking about charismatic stuff. See, when you talk about charismatic theology has no, charismatism has no respect for accuracy of theology. I Babalola don't know Jack in the Bible. I mean, when I mean Jack, like I don't mean he doesn't know nothing, but you get what I'm saying? He doesn't know all this theological stuff, but power. Someone say power. So you have to know that there are two different things. See, when Elijah called down fire, that's power, isn't it? They wanted to come and get Elijah. The captains of the soldiers, they first sent 50. What did he do? He called down fire. Boom, fire burnt the 50. Another 50 were sent again. What happened? Boom, fire burnt the 50, right? Somebody say power. Say it again. But in Luke 9, when the apostle reminded Jesus, saying, Master, can't we call down fire the way Jesus too called down fire in his time? What was Jesus' response? Jesus called down fire too. What did he say? He says, you guys don't know the spirit that is in you. That the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to seek and save the lost. So that means if Jesus was on earth when Elijah called down fire, Jesus would have rebuked Elijah. Are you listening to me? So that means charismatic display does not equal accuracy of theology. Listen, a man of God is called before the foundation of the world. His training in the word of God is a deliberate action he has to do. And whether or not he does it, the calling of God upon him is still irrevocable. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you must learn, and one of the brilliant things you must do is you can't just go to any kind of church. That's a fact you have to know. Look at it, 1 Corinthians 4. Look how Paul understood this thing and then he was literally begging them. Look at verse 16. Look at it, verse 16. He was literally begging them. Look at what it says in verse 16. Are you there? Come on, come on, come on. Are you there? Go to verse 15. Let's see first. Look at verse 15. He says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Oh, do you understand? He says, though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. That means you can't have many fathers. You can have many instructors. He says there are many instructors. But you, look at verse 16. Look at what it says in verse 16. It says, wherefore I beseech you. Someone say beseech. Say it again. That means Paul was literally begging them. He says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye what? Followers of me. Somebody say follower. And I've taught you how to follow, right? We saw it, right? In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. It says, ye became followers of us. How? By receiving the word of God in our mouth, with affliction, or in spite of affliction, but with joy of the Holy Ghost. So these are the three key players in the kingdom of God. The sower, the seed, and the soil. Please project my time so that I will know. The sower, the seed. Wow, 9 more minutes. The sower, the seed, and the soil. So you must get the sower right. Because the seed of God's destiny for your life is in the mouth of the sower. So you have to get it right. And look at the example I gave you. Very powerful. You can Google it. Even Nigeria as a country, they have seed council. National Agricultural Seed Council. They tell you certified seed to use so that you can get the expected results. And like I told you, because this is where I interplay, I know what I'm saying. Nigeria produces a lot of farm produce with low quality. For instance, we have several tons of maize in the villages that people are planting. But processors, all right, agro-allied companies who will turn into something else, don't buy. Why? Because they do not meet the required quality necessary for processing. Because, let me tell you now, a local farmer, if you tell him, come and buy seed, he will say, buy seed. Me, buy seed. Akwei seed so say agidai. Because to him, he felt the seed he planted last year, is it not the same corn? Why will I now come and, what's that? He does not know. Now, the seed they were going to be selling to him was subjected to a particular condition in the process of growth. So, they have monitored the moisture content. They have monitored everything about the seed from inception. So, that's why National Agricultural Seed Council has what they call certified seed companies that you must contact to get certified seeds. In the same vein, the seed of God's word, all right, there are certified preachers, certified sowers. The preacher, the sower soweth the word. Luke 8:11. So these are the key players in the kingdom. So if you want to make good yield with good quality, you must get a good sower, a good seed, and a good soil. So I'm talking about the sower alone in first service. Second service, we will go further. Because you see, your flourishing is tied to this truth that I'm sharing with you. Hallelujah forevermore. I said hallelujah forevermore. So don't buy the idea of people who say, well, I don't need a pastor. I just need to read my Bible and follow God. After all, can't you see all the scandals we see in the world today? And all the scandals. Listen, look up. Just because something has been abused doesn't mean it is not good in itself. I've given you examples, right? You've seen fake money several times. It doesn't stop you from spending money. You've bought fake clothes before that you got mad at yourself, but it didn't stop you from going to buy more clothes. You only got wiser. Is that true? John 3:34, it says, he whom God sent speaks what? The word of God. So that's how you recognize the sower. The sower. And if you're talking about miracles, listen, let me tell you. The word of God is the foundation. See, if it's miracles, I don't know if I've seen miracles here before. Miracles. We see miracles here every time. So it's not against, I'm not speaking against miracle. I'm a miracle worker. I'm a miracle man. There is no weak. I don't heal or save a soul. There is no weak. Don't you hear testimonies? But the point is this: the focus, the centrality of ecclesia is the seed. So you begin with knowing the accredited sower, so that you'll be sure he is dispensing the right seed. I'm talking this way because, you know, I'm talking metaphorically, right? Because I believe this is the way you can relate well. Because just like Jesus, he was talking to a people who, in their time, they were having an agrarian economy. So he was talking to them using agriculture, basic things in agriculture, to disseminate an information that is vital for them. Open to Psalms 92. Let me show you this. Because some Christians too, they have the wrong idea that, well, like I've said this 1,000 times and I'll say it again, they have the wrong idea that if they just sit down in their house and watch TV and listen to certain series of preachers, they've had church. No, you've not had church. We have defined church from the Greek word ekklesia. Ek means the called out ones. Lesia means a gathering. There must be a gathering. Church is a gathering of the called out ones around the word of God under the leadership of a ministry gift. Somebody who is called. This is very important. Look at Psalms 92. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm about to close now. Please put up my time. Psalms 92. Are you there? Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Are you there? Look at what it says. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Can we all read verse 13 together in unison? 3, 2, go. I didn't hear that. I want you to say it louder as much as you can. 3, 2, go. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the... So it conditions your flourishing to being planted. How many of you have seen a planted tree before? How many of you have seen a tree this morning? How many of you saw the tree outside there? Like if you're coming from the campus, you saw a tree there, right? Come on, talk to me. That tree is planted. Somebody say planted. Say it again. When we finish church now and you are going back, would you find the tree somewhere else? Come on, talk to me. When a tree is planted, it is stationary. It's not junketing here and there. There are people, they have visited all the churches in Kefi. You know, there was one that came to me that time, one time, Pastor Paul can tell. He came to meet me. He said, you know what? I've been to all the churches in Kefi, and I can tell you, your church is special. As much as I appreciate that, you know, coming from him, you understand? He says, man, the word here is superb. I've been to all the churches. It was mentioned. I said, thank you. Ah, the Lord bless you. Amen forevermore. I just excused him. As much as I appreciate the fact that he's saying that your church is special, the word of God is taught here, but he registered something in my mind. Something is wrong. You are not a bee. Going from everywhere, going from one church. There was one guy, Pastor Paul, knowing him. He used to, later on I told him, I said, come, calm down. He has graduated now. He will go to 4 churches every Sunday. He will attend 6 a.m. church in one particular church. I don't want to mention him. He will go to 7:30. Then he will now come around. We're having 9 then. After us again. I said, guy, you are not planted. You can't flourish. If a tree is planted, for it to flourish, it must stay there and develop tap roots. The kind of roots that will reach to the table water and draw nutrients, even if it is in adverse condition. That's why this statement, life no balance, is not true. If you go to dry lands, are you listening to me? If you go to dry lands, like I'm talking about desert areas, where desert is already encroaching, like I've lived in Sokoto before, there are trees that thrives there. Why? Listen to me. There's something we call adaptation in biology. The bark of those trees, B-A-R-K, of course, the bark of those trees have been conditioned to minimize evapotranspiration. The same thing with the leaves. The leaves have minimized pores, P-O-R-E. So water is not going out too much. Even animals in desert areas, like fish, there are certain fish like mud fish. They can hibernate for months. They can stay without much water. They've been conditioned that way. Are you listening to me? So God has made certain trees, like we call them xerophytes, to dwell in those areas because they can flourish there. God has made some other trees to be in places where you have, you know, rainfall on the increase all the time. So everything is balanced. So even if it's in a dry land, are you listening to me? There is already an inward programming that will make that tree make sure it reaches the table water. That's why most trees in desert areas, they have tap roots. Most trees in temperate regions, rainforest areas, they have fibrous roots. Are you learning something? I'm trying to use something you can relate with. So those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Look at verse 14. It says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That means time notwithstanding, they will keep flourishing. Look at what Paul says. He says, meditate on this thing. Give yourself completely to them. 1 Timothy 4:15. He says, that your profiting may appear to all. Your profiting will appear to all. See, you have no right to condemn what you have not tried. You have not sat down with the word for 3 months. You are saying, the word is not working. It's a lie. The word works. Sit down with it. Be patient with it. Locate the one God has sent to you, your man of God. Sit down there. That's your accredited seed sower. Sit down there. Be taught. Be brought up. Are you hearing me? That's how to flourish. Say after me, I am planted. Immovable. I am steadfast. I serve diligently in the house of God. I bring forth fruit in all seasons. And see, when you focus on the word, all those things you're struggling with, you just notice that they are taken care of. If you focus, if you put your gaze on the word, like somebody here right now as I'm talking, you used to have this excruciating pain on this side. All right, as I'm preaching right now, that pain just left you right now. You remember in the book of Numbers, when they were crying about the excruciating pain of the snake bites, in Numbers 21, the Bible says, serpent came, was biting them in the wilderness. And the Bible says, God told Moses to raise a brazen serpent. As they looked to the brazen serpent, without minding the pain, they got their healing. So, you're not being responsible or being a responsible person by focusing on your trouble. Focus on the word. One thing is needful. One thing is needful, Jesus said to Martha. He says, and Mary has taken a hold of it. But listen, the normal cultural thing to do was that Mary and his sister should go and fix Jesus a meal. Their pastor just came to visit. And Martha was about, by the way, don't forget, what Martha was doing was a very legitimate cause. I mean, you had a visitor. The next thing you want to do is to fix him a meal. Am I right? But Mary didn't care. Mary sat down at the feet. And Jesus, I mean, guess what? Martha almost got angry. He said, Master, won't you tell my sister to join me so that we can fix you a meal? He was getting angry. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, why are you combat about so many things? He says, but one thing is needful. Oh. And Mary has taken a hold of it, and no one can take it away from her. Sitting at the master's feet, focusing on the word. Listen, what you need is not money. What you need is not house. What you need is not clothes. I didn't say you don't need them, but what you need is the word of God. If you will stick to the word, it will produce all that you require. That's all you need. I'll share with them in second service. Listen, do you know that what Satan is after is not your money? What Satan is after is not your health. What Satan is after is not your family. What Satan is after is the word in your heart. If he can take that word, don't forget, he says when he sows the word, what happened? Satan commits immediately to steal the word. It is when he stole the word of God concerning your health, that conviction, that's when sickness starts setting. Are you listening to me? It is the word of God that you have held on to
that you have professed, that you have affirmed, that you have held on to. Are you hearing me? That you have held on to as anchor. That's what saves. That's what saves. It might look tiny like a rope, but that's what saves. Oh, I love Charles Spurgeon. He told a story about two men who were floating at the river fall of Niagara. He said a rope was thrown to both of them, and they held onto it. Because that rope had an end from the brink of the river, of that waterfall. It says, but one, being foolish, saw a big log of wood, and he felt it would be safer. But he never understood that that log does not have an end. It does not have a connection from where he was to where he was going. And then the log took him straight into the abyss, and he was not found. But the one that held onto that tiny rope, because the rope had a connection to where it was going. Don't forget, the rope was thrown to them, and it got to the saving ground. It got to the ground safely. So it doesn't matter how it might look. It could be that still small voice of God's Spirit from the Word of God. For example, no matter what I'm faced anytime, I always hear that word in my spirit. Son, you are taken care of. You are taken care of. I always hear it. The voice of God's word. Amen forevermore. Amen forevermore. Say after me, I flourish. Lift your hands towards heaven, somebody. Pray in the spirit, somebody, if you can. Pray in other tongues, if you can. The Bible says, while Jesus was teaching and preaching in Luke 5:17, the Bible says, the power of God was present to heal. I want to just all eyes closed, please. Pray in other tongues, somebody. Manto roboko shtefto suto roboko frekite. If you have any ailment of any kind in your body, come forward. All eyes closed. I want to pray in tongues fervently, somebody. If you have any pain of any kind in your body, come forward. Sobrahata la frekite suto roboko telemehestis. Any pain of any kind. Nuna manana sota. Salarada di shalamana no seara, diramana no sara, leda di amana ti sala, ebube, bigada won people say, manana no shalamana. Oh, thank you, Lord. Please, gently, give me that key. Church, praying tongues. Aha. Yeah. Just give it to me. Thank you, Lord. Easier right now. You don't need to beg to heal every ailment. Anointing of God, I rebuke you, foul spirit of infirmity, over these ones.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 0785 66. We celebrate you.